Welcome to the Bubble Lounge. I'm Nelly Sciuto.
And I'm Martha Jackson.
Oh my God, what are your summer plans, Martha? It's upon us.
Well, in typical Jackson format, we don't know. But, you know, we're kind of last minute planners, and so many people like yourself plan it out like months in advance. We don't do that.
Well, we're not that good this summer, but I do have to say we did plan a trip to London, Paris, and Dublin.
Okay, you don't have to show off. That sounds pretty amazing. So I was talking with Alexis the other night, and I was saying how fun it would be to go to Italy, like, for the entire summer and just, like, cover it from top to bottom and just do everything. And we'd need a private jet, of course.
Of course we need a private jet for all of our trips.
I know. How fun would that be?
It would be so fun.
Like, you wouldn't have to go through security or anything.
No, and you could pack bags and not worry about it.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't have to check them.
They could be
Nobody
like,
looks through, like, your corkscrews and everything else in your bag.
And your underwear. Yeah. I mean, that is so uncomfortable. So, speaking of private jets, we have brought in two guys who are going to help us with just that. We are bringing you Lewis Barrows, the CEO and founder of Leviate Air, and Rob Rosenberg, the managing partner. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, thanks
for
having
us. Thank you very much.
Welcome, guys.
So you all might recognize the name of Leviate Air by their big banner in the basketball gym at Highland Park High School, because these guys are sponsors of the basketball team. Thank you guys so much for doing that, by the way. That means a lot to the schools.
Sure, absolutely.
No, it really does. And I got to say, I have some friends with private jets, and I want to ask you guys a question. Like, I always thought, oh, I can't buy a private jet, right? But there are other ways to have a private jet. You can share one. You can fly on one. Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, the majority of our clients don't own their own aircraft. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference between going out and buying a $20 million Gulfstream or spending, you know, $15,000-$20,000 on a spring break trip with a family. So the majority of our clients charter, just trip to trip.
Oh, really? Okay. So what about sharing airplanes? Can you explain that to me? Because I kind of love that idea.
Well, one of the trips we did, you know, a lot of guys' fantasies out there are to go play golf in Bandon Dunes, Oregon. And it's not the easiest place in the world to get to. So I had 30 gentlemen who are all keen golfers get on one aircraft together. And we were able to get them there on a Thursday. They played Friday, Saturday, and came back Sunday evening. And they were able to travel with their golf bags as well as a carry-on as well. And it just made the trip so much more seamless for everybody. And, of course, they got to spend more time there because they're not, you know, sitting at an airport trying to figure out all the commercial, you know, stuff that you have to go through in order to make that trip happen.
Okay, so this cracks me up. I'm just going to say this. So I've been flying a lot, but I fly commercial. And I've noticed that, like, they just move the mask mandate into May, okay? Mm-hmm. And what cracks me up is when I fly first class, I can eat and drink. But when I fly in steerage, I cannot.
Sure. Okay. Oh, yeah. Sure. The air is much dirtier back there.
Yes, first class crazier. People don't have COVID.
That's right, correct.
That's for sure. So you said 30 guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 30 guys with golf bags, a piece of luggage each. And, you know, again, when you're talking about, you know, multiple people on an aircraft all at once, they were able to share that expense. So, you know, on the outlook, you might think, oh, that's super expensive. What size aircraft does it have to be to seat 30 people? But for all of them, they actually combined the expense and divvied up whatever the total amount was and had a great trip and probably would have spent the same if they did go first class or something like that on the airlines.
Well, and that makes me think about skiing, too, because when we go skiing and there's a snowboard and all the stuff that you're bringing with you, same idea, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes it a lot easier. And, mm-hmm. You know, everybody can make sure when they get to their destination that they have their luggage with them as well.
Yes, exactly. It's not going to get lost.
Yeah. I was going to say, ski season is wildly popular for us.
I can imagine.
And especially going to Aspen, Crested Butte, Vail, Eagle. It's always tremendously easier when you fly private.
Okay. Do you all fly to Telluride?
We do.
Okay.
Aspen cracks me up because you pull in and there's literally a sea of private jets there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That is like the requirement to get there, I feel like.
Yeah, Aspen is probably, I'd say, number one on the ski destinations for
right.
us.
Right, sure. So what was the inspiration of starting Leviate Air?
So it's actually me, Rob, and a third business partner, Randall Mize, and we all worked together at one point at another private aviation company. We all did sales. Randall did aircraft management sales. Rob and I were on the charter side. And it was just, I think, like most small business owners, you just have an idea. You think you would do things a little differently, and you just set out to do it. And that's what we did in 2014 and 2015.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's been quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been quite a ride.
I could imagine. Okay, let's get back to my Italy trip. Let's start planning this. Tell me exactly what the process is as far as arranging a plane?
Sure. Well, it's actually as easy as you want it to be. We have a team of charter coordinators. You can call them, email them, text them if you'd like, and just say, these are the days we want to go to Italy, the cities we want to visit, and the number of passengers I'm going to have. And they figure it all out from there.
So just a question. So when you're doing that internationally, are there issues with that?
No, I mean, obviously, everybody still got COVID in the back of their mind. So the good thing is, if you contact us, we take care of all those details for you. So we make sure if you need to have, you know, your vaccination card or any type of, you know, shots before you go, that you are fully aware of that, you know, before mm-hmm. the trip. Of course, making sure that everybody has valid passports, because some mm-hmm. people think even though you're flying private, you don't need a passport. But if you're
not
going
true.
Internationally, you still need your passport.
You still have to check in.
Yeah. So, you know, we take care of all that, permits, everything. Literally, you just show up on the day that you're going and, you know, you can get to enjoy your trip.
Okay, so Martha just said you just check in still. So how do you check in on a private jet?
So it's not technically check in. You really just walk up, say hi to your captain, and he just checks your IDs to make sure they match the manifest.
So he doesn't have to, like, send it to somebody?
No.
Okay, that's amazing. Yeah, I like this.
But you have to make sure all the details are correct. So if you want to bring someone last minute, especially international, just let us know. You know, 24 mm-hmm. hours ahead is usually pretty good, because we've had surprise, you know, guests show up and they have to run through all our normal systems, TSA, the no-fly list, and, you know, so on and so forth. So
take
a little notice.
Shoes off and all that kind of
can
stuff.
Can you bring a service peacock? Is that allowed on private jets?
Oh, my God. Your emotional support squirrel.
Yeah, actually, and we have done some trips before with people when, you know, if there was some sort of event that took place and they needed to get animals out. We have charted aircraft, too, specifically to get animals from one location to another.
With, like, seven llamas. Hanging out.
Remember the trip out of Honduras? We did a charter out of Honduras because they were shutting down a zoo or something. And we did. It was a bunch of wild animals, obviously in kennels and all that, but they got them out last minute.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Honduras is one of my favorite places, by the way. We went on a trip there, and I just loved it.
It's beautiful.
To Roatan, to the islands. Yeah, like a surprising location that not a lot of people think. Everybody thinks about going to Costa Rica. They don't think about Roatan.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Beautiful. I'm sure you guys fly there, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Absolutely. And, mm-hmm. and the other great thing about flying international on a private jet, of course, you don't have to show up 2.5 hours before your departure mm-hmm. time. You get mm-hmm. to pull up, like Lewis was referring to. You know, you can pull up right through the gate at the FBO, and the pilots greet you, mm-hmm. and off you go. So you can literally show up 20 minutes prior to your departure time.
And not take your shoes off.
Okay. Correct.
Okay. Sold. Those two things right there just sold me. Because remember back in the day when traveling used to actually be fun, and something you looked forward
yes.
to going
mm-hmm.
to the airport was mm-hmm. you could walk your friend right up to the gate and
yes.
say goodbye.
Bye.
It was
you.
So
yeah.
easy
not
to
sure
do.
Anywhere.
And now I get so much anxiety because something's going to hold you up at some
yes.
point in time.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah, not the case with us.
Not with you.
Well, let me ask you a question. So when you fly with you guys, mm-hmm. is there like a waiting area that has like food, et cetera? I mean, that's important because I'm a lounge person, mm-hmm. you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, they're called FBOs, fixed-based operators. They're uh-huh. essentially just small private jet terminals with sofas, kitchens, whatever you need.
Drinks,
until
cocktails?
Drinks, cocktails.
Okay.
Whatever you need until your
popcorn machine.
Well, let's go to that then. Let's go to the next level, which is when you're flying private, I'm assuming that you were served good food and drinks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the planes come fully stocked with, you know, your standard snacks, alcohol minis, whatever you can really, you know, get on airlines. But then if you'd like to go above and beyond, we have a fully dedicated flight coordination center. And if you want filet mignon, if you want, you know, lobster, they can set it up and have it catered
wow.
for your flight.
What are you going to order, Nelly?
Lobster and filet mignon.
We'll have both.
And a big old cocktail.
There you go.
And the other thing that we take care of for you as well is ground transportation, right? When you land at your destination, you've got to get to the hotel. So we can have a car pull up plane side as soon as you land and take all the guests to that location.
Wow.
Okay, so you've sold us both, but we want to know, what kind of planes do you guys have?
So it's actually a mix. We manage a fleet of aircraft as big as a 14-passenger Gulfstream, as small as a 6-passenger Citation jet. But as far as being able to charter aircraft for you, the sky's the limit. As Rob said, we've done stuff as big as 30-passenger aircraft for a golf trip. Mm-hmm. But we've also done, you know, 5-6-passenger turboprops down to Lajitas. For a shorter golf trip.
And how far can you fly in a small plane like that?
I mean, you probably don't want to take the turboprop to Italy.
I don't want that one.
I feel like Charles Lindbergh. I don't want to do that.
I want the Gulfstream for that one.
Yeah, you definitely want the Gulfstream for that.
I want a sleeping cabin.
Yeah. And I mean, that really, we have worldwide operating authority. So pick a spot in the globe and we can take you there.
So wow. let's talk about, walk us through pricing. What is it going to cost to get me to Italy?
Sure. Well, Italy is going to take a little bit. You know, I would say that part of Europe from Dallas is going to range anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000. You know, you're looking at about $10,000 per hour, give or take. But that's on the very high end. That's when you need that intercontinental range, the big aircraft. You know, if you are doing a light cabin jet or turboprop to Lajitas, that is, what, Rob, maybe $1,500 an hour?
Sure, yeah.
So it's a lot more accessible than a lot of people think.
So what about Palm Springs?
Palm Springs, same thing. You don't want to take the turboprop all the way out there. But you can take a mid-cabin jet. What would you say, a Hawker 800 to Palm Springs, maybe 20,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And how many people would you split that with?
Eight.
Okay.
Yeah, that seat's eight.
So it's like first class. I get what you're saying. It's first class, but first class amplified.
Yeah, a little extra. But yeah, if you have eight passengers, it's not terribly out of reach.
Yeah,
it's not.
You've got five individual captain chairs and a nice three-person couch inside the cabin, so everybody can kind of communicate, talk to each other, and nobody feels left out on the plane.
Well, it makes me think of like the old days with airplanes. Like, I don't know, I wasn't flying then, but like in the 1960s, when you see like they had like a bar in first class, mm-hmm. and people hung out and like walked around the plane, you know.
Yeah, some of the large cabins, like an aircraft you would take to Italy, absolutely you can stand up. You know, the cabin height is about 6'4" mm-hmm. On an aircraft like that. A mid-sized range that Lewis was talking about to go to Palm Beach, it's probably about 5'11" would be the cabin height. So some people could stand, maybe a little bit, you know, have to kneel or bend down a little bit to get in.
I could stand. Rob could not.
I can stand easily.
You and I can stand. That's all that matters.
And then, of course, all your large cabin aircraft come with the flight attendant. There's usually an oven, a warming oven on board, a microwave. So that's why the catering can get pretty extravagant if the mm-hmm. passenger chooses to do so. On some of your more domestic trips like Palm Beach or anything like that, you know, we could order catering for you. Typically, it's like an assorted sandwich tray or something like that. And it gets just passed around the cabin and everybody can enjoy.
Nice. Okay. And of course, the liquor. That's the most important.
Always the liquor.
Can people bring their... I assume when you're flying private, you could say, I'm bringing my Chateau Latour with me.
Of course, yeah.
Because I want to have a good wine. And,
yeah.
Right?
It can definitely be BYOB. The sky's really the limit. You know, we just ask you don't get so tipsy that they have to carry you off the plane, but otherwise it's whatever you'd like.
I don't feel like that's too much to ask. Well, speaking of tipsy, has anyone ever had to be carried off the plane?
You know, a few Vegas trips come to mind.
It's always Vegas,
it's
isn't
always
it?
Vegas.
Always.
Like, and 20-year-olds, that's what I'm trying to imagine.
Yeah.
Wealthy 20-year-olds.
I wish it was wealthy 20-year-olds. No, fine, upstanding people that just have a little too much fun in Vegas. But no, we've had a couple trips back where, you know, the captain will have to call ahead and say, hey, we're getting a little rambunctious back there. But generally, everything's fine.
Like Bridesmaids, the movie?
Like Bridesmaids, the movie.
And honestly, what some people don't, you know, maybe think about is the flight attendant is not only there on the large cabin aircraft to serve the passengers, but they're also kind of a chaperone for the aircraft owner.
Of course, yeah.
So to make sure that, you know, it doesn't get a little too out of control on the aircraft.
Well, speaking of that, what about the Mile High Club? Oh my God. Have you ever caught anybody, you know, like under a blanket in the back row?
A big reason our clients choose us is our discretion.
So there you go.
Neither confirm nor deny.
That's really funny, Nellie, that you brought that up, because I have one friend that has a private plane, and I was talking to her just this morning.
Yes.
And I was telling her about interviewing Leviat Air, and I was like, would you ever rent yours out? Because I know you guys do subleasing as well. And she said, absolutely not. And she cited.
And she said, there are gross things that could happen.
That was like her main reason for not doing it.
That's funny. No, all kidding aside, our clients that do have us charter their aircraft out, that's kind of what Rob was alluding to. The flight attendants are there to act kind of as a chaperone.
Right.
At the end of the day, you know, it's their asset. We mm-hmm. want to take care of it. They don't want to hear of terrible stuff happening. So if you have a reputable company like us, most of that, you know, the shenanigans don't go on.
You'll put a stop to that.
That's right. Correct.
Okay. So like I said, I have the friend that has a private plane, and you guys actually sell planes, right?
Yeah. So the awesome part about our company, which is something we take tremendous pride in, is that we kind of do everything in-house. So the natural progression is, you know, we have our charter brokerage where they're booking trips for individuals, and then that individual may charter, you know, a number of hours in a year or over a few years, and then say, hey, well, now I'm interested in purchasing an aircraft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they can come to Leviat, and we do that in-house. We have a sales and acquisition division as well, where we help people buy and sell their business jet.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, of course, if you purchase a jet, the next question is, well, I need somebody to manage it. Who's going to manage it for me? And we do that as well, being being a 10 or more worldwide, you know, FAA air carrier, we have a certificate, and that's what allows us to manage these aircraft for the owners.
So, question, where do you guys fly out of?
That's probably the most popular question that we get, but everywhere. So we have aircraft that we manage out of Addison Airport, Dallas Love Field, Austin, Houston, South Florida. But as far as our charter clients are concerned, it can be any airport they want. If someone says, I want to be picked up at Alliance Fort Worth over by Southlake, we can do that. You know, the plane just has to meet them there.
Yeah.
Essentially, the only limitation is generally a 5,000-foot runway. And then obviously, you know, depending on the aircraft you're using, it has to be able to accommodate it.
Well, let me tell you something. I was just at DFW the other day, and I heard that DFW is the size of Manhattan, where I grew up, 16 miles.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, we were taxiing for like 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, where are we going? Are you dropping me off at my house?
Yeah. That's why we rarely go to DFW or any of the majors. We don't go to Boston Logan. We don't go to LAX. You know, we go to Bedford, Massachusetts, or Van Nuys, Burbank.
Or Westchester.
Right?
Well, I think most of our listeners would be thrilled to know that you are at Love Field, because that's just in our backyard.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
10 minutes away.
Making this whole process even more easy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We have a big presence at Love Field, multiple FBO locations, because Love Field is a pretty good-sized airport, too.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
So I said earlier that the Jackson family is very last minute with their summer plans, and we don't know what we're doing yet, but let's just say a week after school gets out, we decide that we want to go to Cabo. How does this work? How much lead time do you need?
I mean, I hate to say it, but it can be as little as 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I love that.
You're just making this better and better by the minutes. I mean, that's like Jackson approved right there.
If it's like last minute and there's just a plane lying around?
Unfortunately, I think it gets a little more expensive.
Okay. I figured. So what about when you travel? You know, we're talking pricing, but it's not round trip, is it?
So that all really depends on the length of stay. If you're going, you know, a Friday through Sunday from, you know, here to the West Coast or East Coast, it's about 3 hours of flight time each way. So if you went Friday through Sunday, that would be what we call a clean round trip. Mm-hmm. So the aircraft would actually stay with you and then bring you back. If somebody called in and said we wanted to go to LA for a week, then we would actually have one aircraft drop you off and get an entirely different aircraft to pick you up. That way you're not spending all the money on the crew overnights, the trip minimums, and all the different fees
their
that are associated.
They're partying in LA.
The Ritz Hotel.
Vegas. Yeah. Because you take care of them, right? You take care of the pilot, right?
Yes.
Your duty to house them?
Yeah, so our ops department, they plan the hotels for the crew and all that when they're staying overnight. They get a per diem for their meal, so they're taken care of.
Yes.
And then, of course, we want them to be fresh and ready for the return.
Yes, exactly.
They need to sleep well.
Yeah,
in a very nice hotel.
Correct.
Okay, so the question is, so when you say, like, flying to Palm Springs is, like, $15,000,
$20,000? No, about $20,000.
Okay, so is that each way or round trip? If you go for 3 days, would that be round trip?
It would be close to that for round trip.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's actually very amazing and very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, frankly, it is. And like, what a great treat for like a 50th birthday or like 40th birthday or something.
Yeah,
and Palm Springs is 50, but.
Oh, and Palm Springs is very, very popular, especially because the airline service is a little tough there.
Yeah.
You know, private, you can fly right into PSP. Mm-hmm. What's another good summer one? Montauk? Hamptons?
Yeah, we do a lot of Hampton travel, and then Mexico for sure. Cabo, Cancun, you know, Puerto Vallarta, all those destinations out of Dallas, we get a lot of requests for those.
Okay, so I have a question. I do have a house in the Hamptons that I share with my siblings, and I just bought my own house. So do you fly to East Hampton Airport, I assume?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and so what would that cost?
Same thing for a quick week, but who stays in the Hamptons for a quick weekend trip?
You're usually there. Me, just constantly?
Oh, love that. Well, I would stay for a week or two.
We need to sell her a jet card, Lewis.
I would say, about $25,000?
Okay. Yeah. For how many people would fit?
6 to 7.
Okay.
Wait, what is a jet card?
Yeah, so another thing we offer, if somebody wants guaranteed rates, and it's usually, you know, as a budgetary tool for some executive or corporations, they know exactly what they're paying per hour for a certain aircraft category, if it's a light jet, a mid-sized jet, or a large cabin. And that way they're guaranteed that pricing. So whatever that rate is, we just multiply it by the hours that they fly. Mm-hmm. But they get amenities with that. So if for some reason there's also an issue with the aircraft, like a light comes on and we need to get a different aircraft, then if we reposition a plane from somewhere, they don't have to pay for that repositioning cost. It's all covered within the rate that are applied on the jet card.
So do we get a jet card?
Can I get your Amex?
Seriously.
Good answer. I love it. Well, this just has gotten better and better. The more we talk to you, more that I'm like feeling it.
It's very accessible. That's what I'm saying. It's like it really is.
Yeah, and especially after COVID, it's become wildly popular. You know, it's across the industry, but for us specifically, I mean, our demand is at an all-time high.
you know, buy
not
a multiple.
Wearing a mask on a plane.
Oh my God.
I would pay good money for that. Seriously.
Well, what we say with COVID too, you know, there was always this big portion of the population that had the means to fly private. They just wouldn't justify it to themselves. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as COVID hit, they're like, of course we're flying private. Why
exactly.
would we not?
Exactly.
So it's been a huge boom for us.
Well, that's good. I love hearing businesses that actually benefited from mm-hmm. the COVID
exactly,
times.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you both for coming today.
It's been so much fun, and you've made us see that it's accessible for everybody, really.
Yeah, we're both sold. We're
we are sold.
And also, thank you so much for being a big supporter of the schools. Supporting the basketball team really is amazing.
It really is, and we love people who support local businesses, and we love local businesses like yours.
No, absolutely. We got into it also because we are part of University Park Life magazine, and we've been, you know, had a 24-month commitment there, so sponsoring the Highland Park basketball team was kind of a good synergy to keep that, you know, community, I guess, spirit going.
Yeah.
Well, we're big fans of University Park Life as well.
Exactly.
So the most important thing, how do people get in touch with you guys?
Well, all our information is on our website at levierair.com. But really, like I said, if you call, if you email, the email is really easy. It's just fly@levierair.com. But we have a team of people standing by. You know, they can be your own personal private jet concierge and email, text, call, anything.
And you can even fill out a trip form on our website and tell us where you want to go, how many passengers, and we get that information and we can start quoting you trips right away.
You literally can't make this any more easy.
Exactly.
We try.
We're going to get our cheap husbands to invest.
I know. Sean, I hope you're on board back there. Well, thank you both for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Guys, you've been great. You've been delightful. Thank you so much.
That's been another episode of The Bubble Lounge. I'm Martha Jackson.
And I'm Nellie Sciuto, and we'll catch you next time.